You're listening to the weekly podcast of Citizens Church with Pastor Chris Norman. For more information on the work that God is doing through Citizens Church, please visit us online at citizenschurch.org.
So, as we begin this series today and as we look forward, here's some things we know. We know that God has called us to great things. Amen? You're going to preach this message with me. If you're new to Citizens, here's what you need to know, is that if the message is bad, it's not my fault, it's yours, because I preach way better when you're talking to me. God has called us to some great things, amen? Amen. God has called you to some great things, amen? Do you believe that? The amen wasn't as strong as when we were talking about the church. You're like, oh yeah, I get that. God's called the church to great things. Me? I want you really to believe this. God has called you. God has called you to great things. But here's what you need to understand, and as we move forward, God has done great things, and he's got greater things for us to do. But if I could just speak a word over us over these next several weeks and the great things that God's spoken over your life, is that you need to understand this. In order to move forward into all that God has for you and for us to move forward in all that God has for us as a church, we're going to have ourselves some grit. Some grit. In other words, you gotta learn how to put up a little bit of a fight. Because here's the reality, okay? Over and over again, what we see is that great accomplishments are never obtained without moving through great obstacle. You got that quote on your fridge, I can tell. It's not a very motivational message you're bringing to us today, Pastor Chris, but you need to understand this. Every great accomplishment will face great obstacles, and often the greater the obstacles leads to the greater the accomplishment, okay? I mean, think about it for a second. Do you know Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan, before he was ever known as one of the greatest basketball players of all time, somebody. Some people are some Jordan fans. You're wearing his shoes. Come on, somebody. Before that, do you know that he was cut from the high school basketball team? He went home. In his own words, he went home and he locked himself in his room and he cried, being cut from the high school basketball team. Well, did it stop him? No, it's just an obstacle. Continued to work, continued to press, continued to grow. Man, that guy was tall. He's tall. And became one of the greats. Do you know Walt Disney? Walt Disney, before he ever set in motion this thing that we now know as Disney Worldwide Corporation that all of our kids love and we love and the happiest place on earth is Disney, right? Like, before any of us ever said that, before any of that was ever put into motion, do you know that Walt Elias Disney was fired from the newspaper company because he was told, and I quote, he has no imagination or good ideas. That's why they fired him. That Walt Disney had no imagination, somebody. Come on. He went on to recover from that obstacle to start three business endeavors that all left him bankrupt. Do you know he was near the age of 60 when Disneyland opened? Some of y'all in your 50s and 60s, you're thinking, I'm just going to retire. No, you're just getting started, right? Overcoming obstacle. Thomas Edison. We know Thomas Edison and we thank him for the light bulb. But you know, before he ever had one working light bulb, that one working light bulb only came after over 1,000 non-working light bulbs. Talk about some grit, somebody. Dang, it doesn't work. Try it again. Dang, it doesn't work. Try it again. Dang, it doesn't. Don't try it again. Try it again. Maybe if I do this. I keep hitting an obstacle. I don't know about you, but when I'm somewhere in 7 or 8, I'm like, this ain't going to work. This is just a bad idea. And some of you in life right now, you're like, you're pushing in. I'm going to give up. It's just never going to work, and I don't know. But you just passed 300. Edison, over 1,000 before one finally illuminated. And today we know him and we thank him for the light bulb. And I'll tell you this, true. It's not just the reason that's a true principle is because it's a biblical principle. It's a biblical truth. It's just that anything great is going to face great opposition, going to have some obstacles. I mean, think about it. Nehemiah. Before he ever rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and ever reinstituted worship within the temple, do you know he faced great obstacles? Do you know that most of the people he was trying to lead back to rebuild didn't even want to go? They had lost the momentum and the passion to actually move back into their hometown. And so the number of people that were taken captive from the hometown, only a small percentage of them returned with Nehemiah. And when he came back to rebuild the wall, do you know that there was an enemy on every side? And some of you feel like that today, that there's an enemy on every side, that every direction you look, there's some kind of opposition against you. Well, listen, most biblical characters that we celebrate today know exactly what that feels like. Matter of fact, the people sitting around you today know exactly what that feels like. You're not alone. You will face opposition. Nehemiah faced it. There was a battle on every front. There was someone wanting to take him down on every front. And Nehemiah also had these things that we call today haters. Any of you got some haters in your life? Some of you are like, yeah, like family. I got some family. I don't like going to Christmas because they're haters, right? And there's people that just whisper, you can't, you won't, you'll never, and right? And just constant. Nehemiah had that. Sambalot and Tobiah were their names. They were hanging out in the Valley of Oh No, is what it's called. And they were like, you know, Sambalot's like, even if a fox jumps on your ball, it'll fall down. And like, just stupid. It's always stupid stuff. And Nehemiah had to fight through it. And fight through it. And he had to keep the heart of the people around him encouraged so that they can fight through it, so they can fight through the opposition, so that they can fight through the obstacles. And I guess what I want to do for you today more than anything is be one who encourages you in the face of the obstacles to keep building and to keep keeping on, to keep pressing through whatever those obstacles might be. I want you to identify those obstacles and to figure out how to work through those obstacles, because God is going to call you to great things, and he has, and God, therefore, is going to also enable you to move through the obstacles that you're going to face. Do you know that? Amen, somebody. That's a good spot to say amen. Do you know that the children of Israel could never continue to move forward into what God had for them unless they conquered the Philistines? But in order to conquer the Philistines, David had to go up against a big old obstacle. Do you remember the obstacle David went up against? Goliath. And the point over and over again through Scripture is that with every great call, there is a great obstacle. And so I need you to hear that today, because there's thinking amongst the Christian culture today that sounds a little bit like this. And be honest with yourself if you've ever been in this place. It's like, we tell ourselves, okay, I'm going to go out and do this because I believe God's calling me to do something. And then you move in that direction. Or maybe it's a business endeavor, or it's, education that you're pursuing, or whatever it might be. But as soon as you march down that road and you face an obstacle, something's happened in our Christian culture today and that I just think is very unhealthy. Tell me if you ever struggled with this. Is that the moment you face an obstacle, you know, you're skipping along, Jesus loves me, he's called me to great things, and then you face an obstacle, you're like, God's not in it. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. You're moving along, there's an obstacle, God's obviously not in it. Because if God was in it, the doors would just fling wide open, and birds would be chirping, and I would just skip through the daisies, and right? And you just got this picture that walking in all that God's called you to walk in, it's just, there's not going to be any obstacles. There's not going to be opposition. There's never any danger. There's never any risk, because God's in it. God's in it. So it's just God sprinkles God dust on everything, and he makes it easy for the Christian. But see, we laugh, but we know it's true. We really believe that. At the moment I face an obstacle, God's not in it. Friends, what if the Apostle Paul bought into your philosophy? To what we feel like is a biblical philosophy. I've had other pastors tell me when I'm facing opposition, God must not be in it. Excuse me? You try telling that to the Apostle Paul, he would have kept himself in Jerusalem, because when he lists his credentials for what God's called him to, he's like, hey, you want to know what I've been up to? Let's see, shipwrecked, abandoned, hungry, in perils, constantly having my life in danger. I've been rejected by people. And he goes on and on and on. He's like, I've suffered this, I've suffered that, and I've suffered a little bit more. There's been obstacles on every front. You read it in Corinthians. It's a status update on how his journey was going, and it was hard. But Paul had what I think we need to have today in order to see all that God wants to do in our lives and our church. We got to have some grit, everybody. Paul didn't quit because Paul had some grit. And friend, don't you quit. You got to get some grit. You got to get some grit. People say the safest place for you to be is in the middle of God's will. I don't know that's always safe. And you got to stop telling yourself that the moment you face an obstacle, God's not in it. Maybe you should reverse engineer that thinking. God's called you some great things. So when you face an obstacle, instead of letting that be a sign that maybe God's not in it, how about you remind yourself, okay? Maybe it's actually a sign that God's called you to something great. That's why you're facing the obstacle. So when you face an obstacle, don't look at it as, well, maybe God's not in it, because maybe it's just a reminder that you're called to something great. Because every great accomplishment is going to face great obstacles. So when you face a great obstacle, it could be because God's calling you toward great accomplishments. God's calling you toward greatness. And friends, I don't know what the obstacle is you face today or what's in front of you, but we're all going to face obstacles. I keep talking about what God's called you to, and I want to break that down for the series so you understand this. What do we mean when we say God's called you to something? That there's a call of God on your life. We hear people talk about that all the time, and it means different things to different people. But here's what I want you to think of in this series when I talk about the call of God on your life. It's simply this, is that God, and this is true, listen, God has a call upon every single one of your lives, okay? That he right now, what God is doing is he's calling you forward, because that's what he does. He's calling you forward into what he has for your life. He's pointing you in a certain direction. He's calling you into a certain place. He's wanting to move you forward. And if you would listen to what God wants to say to you, he's going to call you forward. And maybe it's to exercise forgiveness in a certain relationship. Maybe it's calling you to raise a family, to love and serve and honor Christ and to keep him at the center. Maybe it's to start that business endeavor, to apply to that school. But God's going to call you forward. And I could say that with absolute biblical clarity and certainty that God has a calling on every single one of your lives. And what he does in our lives is he calls us. There's a calling. It's a calling. He wants to call you forward. And so here's a question I need you to grapple with today and to wrestle with. It's this. It's, what is God's calling on my life? Right now, what does God want to say to me? What is God's calling on my life? Because some of you, you are not listening for this. You're just doing what you've always done. You're just walking where you've always walked. You're continuing, and you've got to stop and ask, God, is this what you're calling me to do? Is this the direction I'm supposed to be going? What is your calling on my life? And I want you, listen, you got to start dreaming about what that might be. And some of you are going to get afraid of the dream that actually starts to enter your heart, because it's, as it enters your heart, you're realizing that this is a big dream and I don't think I could pull it off. Hey, listen to me, don't go there yet. Just allow your heart to go, God, what are you calling me to? Maybe it's a marriage that needs to be strengthened. It's something that needs to be restored. And over and over again, you just keep seeing that it's not, but God, you feel like God might just be calling you to. Am I talking to anybody in here today? Come on. God's got a calling on your life. So you got to ask yourself that question. What is the calling on my life? Is there a ministry that God wants to birth through my life? Is there people God wants me to reach? What is that calling? Okay. You got that? Everyone got that? Talk to me. You got that? Just that sense. You don't always see it. And it's different in different seasons. When I was living in Orange County, I pray every year, God, do you want me here? I always felt like a fish out of water a little bit there. And I was just praying, God, do you still want me here? Do you still want me here? Every year, Tate and I would take some time, and we'd fast, we'd pray to see God's face. And all the time, it was just a confirmation. You're supposed to be here, supposed to be here, supposed to be here, supposed to be here. Okay, I'm going to continue. I was helping your church transition through a really rough time. They had lost a senior pastor. I was the third pastor within 5 years. It was a big mess, financially and everything else. And God called us. And every year, I was like, God, are we still here? He's like, you're here. You're here. Like, okay, Lord. And I remember the day I was at a conference. I was listening. We were singing. It was in worship. And I asked God that question. And I finally had this sense that what God had called me to do there, that calling for that season of my life, was done. And that now God was setting us free to pursue some things that were being born in our hearts, some other things God was calling us to do. And I remember as clear as day. And then God confirmed it through his word and through other people. And I just knew God's got something else. We're going to step out of that work. So what is the calling? It could change in different seasons, but what is it today? Here's what you need to know about your calling. Listen, here's what you need to know about your calling, is that it won't come without a fight. It won't come without a fight. Remember, every great thing is going to face great obstacles. So whatever the calling of God is upon your life, it won't come. It won't come without a fight. You're going to have to learn to fight. You're going to have to learn to fight. And here's what I want you to know in this series and what we're going to work through, is that God wants to teach you to fight. You didn't know you were going to hear that when you came to church today, right? Listen up, everybody. God's going to teach you to fight. Christians don't fight. have you read your Bible, or have you just been like preached the message of the, you know, the contemporary church that just wants to sit in like easy, okay, I don't know, I'm getting all mad at everybody, like, but you know what I'm saying? It's just a different message than what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the Christians, we're willing to fight. We're willing to fight for the things that matter. We're willing to fight for purity. We're willing to fight for holiness. We're willing to fight for the gospel. We're willing to fight for people who need some hope today. We're willing, aren't we? Come on, church. We're willing to fight for the call of God on our life. Amen? You got to be willing to fight. So here's the thing. God wants to teach you to fight. Let me show this to you, because some of you are just like, I don't believe that. Look at Judges. Judges chapter 3, verse 2 says, These are the nations that the Lord left to test all the Israelites who had not experienced any wars in Canaan. Here's what Scripture's saying. He had just listed these nations that had been left in the land. And he's telling us why those nations were left in the land. He says this. He said, he did this. He left those nations in the land. He did this only to teach warfare to those descendants of the Israelites who had not previously had battle experience. God said, I'm going to teach you how to fight. I'm going to lead. There will be some obstacles in your way because you've got to learn this. You've got to learn to fight. Friends, listen to me. If you don't learn to fight, you'll be destined to settle. Every time. You're going to settle. God's not calling you to settle. He's calling you to fight for the things that matter. You know what Paul said about his faith? Paul said, fight the good. Help me. Fight a faith. What is it? It's a fight. It's a fight of faith. You mean it's not the skip? It's not the cruise ship of faith? It's the battleship of faith? Yeah, it's a fight of faith. Got to fight the good fight. The good fight of faith. And God wants to teach us to fight. I want to wrestle with the rest of our time. One of the things that we fight with, and we're going to have to fight with through, as you move forward into all that God has called you to. One of the things that we are going to have to fight through and learn to overcome in our life is that we need to learn to overcome fear. Can I talk to you today, the rest of our time, about some fear? Fear is one of the things that we are going to have to learn to fight for and to fight through, I should say. Because every time God calls you into something, even now as I've been mentioning those things, and you've got that thing you believe God's calling you to, and as I look down the corridors of our future, I got to tell you that it feels the same way every single time. Every single time we start to dream as a church, it feels the same exact way as it felt when I was sitting in my living room at home in Orange County dreaming about a church. There's a little bit of fear there. Can I just tell you? You look forward and you kind of start asking how, and you got all these what ifs, and you got all these what when, and you got and just, you know what I mean? Come on, you with me? The moment you start to dream, there's just like this, it's like Satan sends this wet blanket of fear to try to douse the fire that God is trying to spark in your heart, and you feel it, you know it, and there's this temptation in that moment to yield to the fear or to continue to fight on in faith, the good fight of faith. And there's in everything this tension. So if you are ever going to move into what God is calling you into, and to get to the mountaintop, you're gonna have to work through this valley of fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? When I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, it's dark, and there is fear is trying to attack me on every front and get me to stop and curl up into a little fetal position there in the middle of the valley and just quit. But in the middle of the valley, shadow, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, your rod and your staff. You comfort me, right? I'm just going to keep following you, Jesus, even though this is kind of scary. The children of Israel, under the leadership of Moses, were led out of captivity. Listen very closely. They were in slavery and bondage under the Pharaoh in Egypt. And God raised up this man, Moses. Moses was called by God to lead his children out of slavery and bondage into the promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. I know today you're like, that sounds sticky, actually, is what that sounds like. I stole that from a VeggieTales line. Anyone seen VeggieTales? Come on, it's so good. Sounds sticky, is what he says. But I love it. There's principle in here is that God always gives verbiage. He always gives like a picture. Like, where are you calling me? It's milk and honey. And so then they're like, yes, jackpot, right? So God raises up Moses to lead him out of slavery and bondage. And some of you in here today, you're stuck in that. And God wants to lead you out of slavery into the promised land. Now, they get all the way to the edge of the promised land. They are standing at it. The only thing separating them between the desert that they're wandering through and the promised land that God has for them, the only thing separating them is this thing called the Jordan River, okay? Moses decides to send in some spies. And God tells him, send in some spies to check out the land. They send in some spies to check out the land. The spies come back, and if you know the story, the spies come back, and they give a negative report of the promised land. They say this, they're basically going, it is flowing with milk and honey, and we did bring back some fruit. Look at these grapes. Look at everything we brought back. Oh, yes, it is everything God said it is, but there's giants in the land. There's fortified cities in the land. There's great walls in the land. There's these guys there in the land. They're the Nephilim. They're like big dudes in the land is what they're saying. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. And they give this negative report, and fear began to grip the heart of the children of Israel. They spread a negative report to the rest of the village. I'm just kidding, it's still on. They spread a report, a negative report. It's still working. God's not done yet working on your heart right now. Come on. He still wants to tell us something here. They spread this negative report, and the children of Israel, they drowned in fear. And they say to themselves, did we just come all the way out here to die in the wilderness? You know what we need to do? We need to raise up another leader that'll take us back to Egypt. Think about how foolish that is. We need to raise up somebody that'll bring us back to bondage. Because I'm at the edge of all that God's promised me, and it's scary. So just leave me in bondage. I think there's a lot of people that come to that place in their life where moving forward is so scary. So they're just going to choose to live in less than what God's called them to. They're going to continue to settle because of fear, because of fear. But then you fast forward a little bit, and God raises up a man by the name of Joshua. Joshua was the one that assisted Moses. Moses and that generation, because they feared going in the land, they didn't listen to God, they didn't cross the Jordan like he called them to, God cursed that generation, and that generation would never see the promised land because fear kept them locked out. Fear kept them locked out. I wonder today, I really do, I what fear has kept you from in your life? I wonder what fear has locked you out of. I think fear today has kept us away from going public with our faith. You're here in church, and it's good, but at work, we're going to talk that down. We don't talk about it because there's this sense of fear. You don't want people to know that you actually do love Jesus, but you know, my friends, that your Christian faith is never meant to be a private thing. It's a very public thing. It's what baptism is all about. God wants you to go public. Something very powerful happens in your life when you actually let your faith go public. Okay, and so some of you, because of fear, are not willing to go public. Some of you, because of fear, are unwilling to stay in that marriage because you're just afraid. But all of your fears have to do with you. It's, I'm afraid I'm not going to be happy. I'm afraid I'm not going to, and there's just this fear of continuing to lean in to do what you know God's called you to do because you just fear. You fear. And some of you, because of fear. And I tell you, maybe you look back at your life and you see where fear has kept you out. And I can tell you this right now, that over every one of those failures because of fear, that you got to hear this, that God forgives and God redeems, and God could take even broken things and make beautiful things out of them. He does that over and over again. God takes ashes and he gives us beauty for ashes. God does that over and over again. But I'm telling you that right now, as you move forward, would you just not let fear get the best of you any longer? Not let fear hold you back, and I just wonder today what fear is keeping some of you from. So I want to wrestle and give you three quick things the rest of our time of how to overcome and fight through fear so that it doesn't keep us back from what God's called us to. Every great thing is going to face great obstacles. How do we face this obstacle of fear? And here's the first thing you understand. If you haven't seen this already, You need to understand that every one of us are going to face fear, right? We will all face fears. And I think it's important to understand. Moses there at the edge of all that God promised him, he faced fear. And then God, later, after that generation died in the wilderness, after Moses died, God raised up his assistant, Joshua, and God called Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And when Joshua got up to the edge, to the Jordan, and was about to cross it, do you know what filled his heart? Do you know what obstacle he had to face? Could you take a guess? It was the same exact obstacle that Moses had to face. The point is this, friends, is that we will all face fear. Joshua faced the same fears that Moses faced. It wasn't like God raised up Joshua and used him and told him to go in the promised land because Joshua had a fear not sticker on the back of his car. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this guy will do great. He has no fear. That's not the case. He gets up to the promised land. We all face fears. Joshua faced fears. I want you to see it. Joshua chapter 1. They're at the promised land, at the edge. The only thing separating them is this Jordan. And after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead, these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River and into the land I am giving them. He says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Whatever you set your foot, wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given you. In other words, I will give you every place you go. Every step you put down will be land I'm going to give you. From Negev wilderness to the south of Lebanon mountain in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including the land of the Hittites. It goes on to say this, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Do you see this is like God, like a loving father? He's pulling Joshua aside. He's going, hey, buddy, come here. All right, you're at the same place Moses was, and I want to encourage you. I promise you what I promised Moses, I'm going to be with you. And wherever you set your foot, it will be your land. I'm going to give you. Whatever you step into, whatever I call you into, you're going to own it. You're going to own this. You got this, Joshua. I'm with you. And then he tells him this in verse 9. Skip down to verse 9. He says, this is my command. Here's what you need to do, Joshua. Here's what you need to do. Because this is where we failed last time. Once we got the children of Israel at this point. Here's what I need you to do. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't let fear stop you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do not be, what did he say? Do not be what? Why would God tell Joshua to not be afraid? Because he was afraid. Why would he tell him not to fear? Because he probably had some fear rising up in his heart. Here's my point. You will always face fear. You just got to know it going into it. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be surprised when you start to dream that fear is right there trying to hold you back from what it is God's calling you to do. Don't be surprised because every person that God has used has faced fear. We tend to think that God uses the people that are fearless and have the fear not sticker. And they're like, bring it on. You know, I don't fear. That's not true. God's people, even people of great faith, face fear. But the only difference in the people of great faith is they let their faith overcome their fear. They're faithful to God rather than failing and falling to their fear. They choose to follow God and not their fear. That's the only difference. Every person God has ever used has faced fear. You just got to know it's going to be there. You got to know that. When Tatum and I sensed the call of God out here to plant this church, we read you the verses that God gave us. This might have escaped your attention, but look at what the word that God gave us that we held on to. It says this in Isaiah. It says, fear not, for I'm with you, nor be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you by my righteous right hand. God gave us that verse. Do you know how many times I would say that out loud to myself? Okay, here we go. Are we really moving? Are we loading a U-Haul right now? Do not fear. I am with you, right? And I tell you, it felt the same then as it does in everything God calls us to do. There is this fear. So here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. The prayer is not, God, take away my fear. Because there's always going to be a sense of fear. No matter what I've done, I still sometimes sit and there's fear trying to come up in my heart when I come up to preach sometimes. Like, there's just insecurities and everything. Just fear tries to attack every single time. But you know what? There's always fear present. So the prayer isn't just, God, take away fear. It's this. Listen closely. It's, God, would you strengthen my faith to overcome my fear? So you got to change the battle. You've got to change the energy, right? The direction isn't get rid of the fear. The energy is, God, strengthen my faith to a place where it is stronger than my fear. Because if my faith is stronger than my fear, then my fear doesn't stand a chance, because my faith is stronger than my fear. And some of you right now, you have been crushed by fear because you have not strengthened your faith. And friend, you need to strengthen your faith in order to overcome your fear. So listen, you're all going to fear, but here's the other thing you need to do in order to overcome that fear. You've got to fuel your faith. So it's not just, God, please take this away. God, please. Listen, you've got to find a way to fuel your faith. Do you see what God did with Joshua when he was standing at the promised land? He pulled him aside, and like a father to his son, loving on him, he says, listen to what he told him in Joshua 1:3. He said, Joshua, I know you're afraid. I know as you played out in your head, it's, you're getting eaten by the Nephilim, right, or something. I know as you played out in your head, everyone's getting wiped out and destroyed, right? And as you played out and through the lens of fear, it's not going to work out. I know that's how you're playing out in your head, but come here, son, listen. And he tells him this. Say the word with me. I promise you. The King of heaven and earth says, listen to me, come here. I promise you. What I promised Moses. Do you see what God's saying? My promise has never changed. I'm promising you the same thing I promised Moses. Church, listen, God says, I'm promising you the same thing I promised all my kids. I promise you, he says, I promise you. Wherever you set your foot, you'll be on land that I'm giving you. As you move forward, Joshua, as you take steps, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to give you the place where you set your foot. As you lean into it, I'm going to give you that. I promise you. And what is God doing for Joshua? He's fueling his faith. He's fueling his faith. Friends, listen to me. You're going to overcome your fear. You've got to fuel your faith. Turn to your neighbor. Say, fuel your faith. Fuel your faith. Fuel your faith. When's the last time you've allowed your faith to be fueled? If you don't fuel your faith, here's what happens. The rain of doubt will put it out quickly. Any of y'all been, any of y'all, like I'm back out in Alabama now, everybody. Any of y'all? When you're out camping and you go, and have you ever done this? Tell me if you've been here, like where you start a campfire, you're sitting by the campfire, it's all warm, and then it starts to rain. Anyone ever been there? Everyone been out by a campfire in the middle of the rain, right? It starts to rain. It's the coolest thing. Let me tell you about it. Because some of you are like, I've never done that. You need to get out more often. We're going to go on a big camping trip together and experience this. If you start a campfire and it starts to rain, if you do nothing, the rain's going to put it out. And some of you are living your life like that today. Here's your fuel. Here's your faith. We've all got a measure of faith, and it's burning. And now God is calling us to something, and so we got our faith burning there. And then it starts to rain a little bit. Little fear starts falling from the sky. And if you sit there and you watch the fire, it's going to go out. The rain will put it out. But there's something else you can do. There's this thing called kerosene. And listen, if you fuel the fire, if as it's raining doubt, as it's raining fear, you're like, you know what? No big deal. I'll just put some more fuel on the fire. I'll put some more fuel on the fire. That ain't working. Well, I brought, and you're, that's so fun. Just listen, I don't care how hard it's raining. If you keep fueling that fire, it won't go out. And some of you today are struggling because you're not fueling the fires of faith in your life. And you know how you fuel the fire of faith in your life? It's called the Word of God. He gave to Joshua a promise, his word to him. Here's my word to you. Here's my promise to you. And that Bible you hold in your hand is filled with the promises of God to you and for you. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Friends, listen, you're not meant to live on bread alone. You're not meant to just kind of try to get by on your own. You're meant to thrive in the strength God's going to provide for you as you feast on every word of God. I'm trying to tell you, you got to get in your Bible, everybody. You've got to get in the Word of God. And we have no excuse today, do we? We carry the Bible on our phones digitally. Anyone got the Bible on their phone right now? Let me see your hand. Come on. Thank you, Life Church, for the app. Craig, Rochelle, and the rest of them. I mean, millions of people have downloaded that. Like, all the languages you want, all the different, you know, devotional studies you can do. It's literally right there. You're carrying it around in your pocket. Some of you got it on your fancy little watch, the Word of God. And you know what? It's not just meant to be in your pocket or on your wrist, but in your heart. It's got to get in your heart. Consume the Word of God. We've got podcasts today. It's made preaching that much more exciting. Because any preacher that stands up to preach in any pulpit in America is like got every other great preacher out there, right, that everybody's already listening to. Praise God for that. You have access to some of the best Bible teaching in the world on your podcast. Listen to it. Consume it. Let it get in your heart. I'm telling you, you've got to fuel your faith if you're ever going to overcome the obstacles. There are obstacles standing between where you are and where God wants you to be, and you're going to overcome them as you fuel the fires of faith in your life, my friends. You've got to consume God's Word. Make a commitment, guys. Church, you got to get to church. You're here today, so you're good. Don't worry, everybody. We're talking about everyone else. That we just get to this place in our life where church is something we do not regularly but conveniently. And friends, it's dangerous. It always worries me when I see believers beginning to isolate themselves. Because if you're not fueling the fires of faith in the context of the body of Christ, the reign of doubt and fear is going to put that out. And we want you to move forward in all that God has. And here's the last thing. I'll leave you with this. Is that as you move into all that God has, and all that he's calling you to, you got to know there's going to be fear, and you got to fuel the fires of faith. But here's the other thing you got to do. Listen, last thing. You've got to take a step. You've got to take a step. Do you notice that God told Joshua the same thing he told Moses, is that in order to get from where you are and into the promised land, you got to go through, and he gave him a step. This is important. Listen to me, Christian. Listen to me, friend. In order to get from where you are into what God has waiting for you, you've got to go through, fill in the blank. There's a step. There's a next step. And for Joshua, it was, and for Moses, it was, but Moses backed down, it was crossing the Jordan River. They had to step into the Jordan River and move through it into the promised land. And I don't know what your next step is, but chances are you've been up against that next step for a little while now. Chances are you've been up against it. And chances are every time you get up, maybe you've been up against this next step 100 times, but every time you get up against the step, there's just something in your heart, fear, insecurity, doubt, that stops you from actually putting your foot in the Jordan, getting your feet wet. Some of y'all, you got to get your feet wet. So maybe you've been there 100 times, and maybe you're just there right now. You've got to take a step, my friend. The only way to overcome your fear is just to lean into what God's called you to do. And you're not always going to see how everything fits and works and plays out. And I know you try to play that game in your mind. Well, if I take that step, then this, and if I take the, right? You do that. Anybody do that? Anybody alive in here today and do that? I do that. I play it all out. But what you do is you play it out, don't you? You play out that step through the lens of fear, because your heart's filled with fear. So you play out that step through the lens of fear, and what you come up with is I don't want that to happen. We're going to get eaten by the Nephilim. And you do that. Every time I'm up against that step, I'm like, if I take that step, we're all dead. And you know what this next step is, but the truth is, it's fear that keeps you from actually taking it. Something's got to change. You feel that fire of faith, and you take that step. Do you know what happened when Joshua finally said, okay, God, I'll take the step? Listen to what happened. when Joshua decided to finally take that step. It says this. They got up to the edge of the Jordan. And look at this. It was the harvest season, and therefore the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Isn't that just the way it goes? We have finally decided to take the step. We finally decided. All right, we're going to march. Listen, it's going to happen today. I'm telling you, I'm going to do this. All right, here we go. God, in faith, I'm going to take the step, and you go and you leave. And what you're going to find is that it's just, wouldn't it just be, the banks are overflowing. It's just not the right time. This is more flooded than it's ever been. You ever been there? And you're going to tell yourself, it's not the right season, not the right time. Man, the situation isn't quite where it needs to be, and the banks are overflowing. But listen. But as soon as the feet, they took a step with their feet, as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water and the river's edge, as soon as they put their faith that had overcome that fear into action, took a step forward in faith and let their faith become a reality in that moment, and they put their foot in the Jordan, they made that phone call, they turned in that application, they, whatever it is, my friends, they leaned into that relationship, they got the counseling, they finally confessed what's really going on in their heart and mind, they came out with a real story. As soon as they put their foot in the Jordan, it says the water above that point began backing up to the great distance, up a great distance away in a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on into the Dead Sea until the riverbank was dry. The moment they put their faith into action, the moment they did what God called them to do, God showed up and did all that they can never do. God, here's what God said to them. Listen, God said, you put your foot in that Jordan. Come on. He didn't give them the rest of the plan. He said, just trust me. God, what are you going to do? Just put your foot. God, can you build a bridge, like just like a bridge across? And so I could walk over it, and wouldn't that be easier, God? I mean, like, we're going to get all wet, and just, you know, some of us might drown in the Jordan. God, we got some concerns about this first step. Not to mention all that's waiting for us in the land. So, God, if you just make this easy. Guys, I'm going to tell you what is going to happen. Just put your foot in the Jordan. And as soon as they did, here's what God said. He said, I got you every time. I got you every time. I'm there with you every time. I'm going to show you a miracle every time you're willing to step out in faith. I'm going to be there waiting to show you myself as you take a step. And don't you know, as you put your foot in the Jordan, it starts standing up on end. You're like, well, I could take another one of those. I could take another one of those. And you keep going on and on. You cross the Jordan until you get up against the walls of Jericho. And there they are, threatening you, causing fear in your heart. But you're like, hey, I've learned something. When I was back at the Jordan, God dried it up. So God, what is it you want to do here? Oh, march around the city how many times? Bang pots and pans? Sure. Sounds great. Hey guys, God said to march around, bang pots and pans. But he's the same God that told us to step into the Jordan. And he's the same God that caused it to dry up and caused us to walk through on dry land. So here's what I know, is that when we are willing to allow our faith to overcome our fear and to take a step, God is going to be with us every step of the way. Every step of the way, God is going to be with you every step of the way. You got to take the step. You've got to take the step. What's the step? You might not know. You'll never know what God's going to do. You never know the provision God's going to bring. You never know the healing to that relationship God's going to bring. You never know what God's going to do in the life of a child as you invest in the way God's calling you to right now. Lay aside maybe some of your own agendas. You never know what God's going to do. And I can't claim to tell you exactly what God's going to do, but I'll tell you this. Here's what I do know, is that the same promise that was over the life of Joshua, and the same promise that was over the life of Moses, that was over our life, as he said this in Joshua 1:9, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. He is with you wherever you go. As you keep marching forward, And I want you to know, friend, I want you to know that God is with you. And this church, in any way we can, we're with you. You're not marching into that Jordan alone. There's a whole team of people here with you. We'll march with you if you let us. You can build some friendships and march on into that land. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message from Citizens Church. It's our prayer that through this message, God would impact and inspire your life. If you have any questions for us or would like to let us know how God is using these messages in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@citizenschurch.org. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online and help in seeing more lives changed through the work here at Citizens Church. Thank you so much for joining us. Gotta keep on